You know what they say about procrastination, right?
What do they say about it?
Procrastination is like masturbation. You're only fucking yourself.
Microphone check. Does my mic sound nice? Yes, it does. Welcome to this week's episode of It's About Damn Time. We focus on the real journey to being 1% better every damn day. It's about damn time that we talk about survival mode. What is it? What it looks like? When do you do it? If you do it too long, what happens? And ultimately, how can we get out of it if we've been in it too long? And so, this is way too much of a topic for me to talk about solo, which is why I've enlisted my tag team partner here for the week, Lila Ree, Dirty Roses Podcast, the lovely, the beautiful, the vivacious Lila Ree, double L, if you will. What it do? What's up, girl?
What up? What up? How are you?
Look, I am ecstatic because I finally got you on this show. Like, okay, let me give y'all a little behind the scenes. So we were supposed to like record this in October, but what had happened was I was going to talk about my past experiences with survival mode, but then I lost my job, so I started going deeper into survival mode, and I had to wait to get a little bit out of it again so I could be able to talk about it again. So Lee was very patient enough to sit there and wait for me, and now I'm still a little in it, but you know, it's okay. It's okay. We can talk about it. I'm good to talk about it now, and you're going to help me out because you actually inspired this conversation just in our talk. So I am so happy that you were here to sit there and talk about this.
Oh, well, thank you. I need you to send me that little snippet of that whole intro. I'm going to add that to my Dirty Roses intro and forget my co-host because it's all about me right now. You know what I'm saying?
I got you. All right, shout out to Nicole because I don't want Nicole thinking that I'm trying to steal you away. Like she will hit me up in the comments and talk shit about me. So I don't want no problem, Nicole. What up, girl?
I'll show you survival mode. Okay.
Yeah. I know she will.
No, totally. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about this. I guess I want to get your personal definition first of what it is. And then, of course, you know me, I'm a nerd, so I Google the shit for weeks and then talk about it and kind of break down the thing.
I'm going to just start calling you Webster Googleotomist, okay? Because you can't let nobody have their own definition. You're going to look it up. You're going to chat GPT. You're going to...
I'm a little thorough. You know I'm a nerd. Look, I'm a cool nerd.
Listen,
I'm throwing the cooler there because I'm hoping that I'm a cool nerd. But you are cool. I definitely am a nerd.
Mr. Dan, you are so cool. Okay. So back on topic.
So what is survival mode in your opinion?
Yeah, to me, survival mode could be a mirage of things. It could be that a big life event happened. It could be a series of small life events that happened, but it puts you into a space where you are living life reactively. So you're not being proactive. You're not being goal oriented. You're not living life for what you could have. It is, I am reacting to the negative things that are happening in my life right now. Oftentimes you feel like you're on a hamster wheel. You're just spinning. You're just there. You're living. You're getting, you know, you're moving, but you're not getting nowhere. And it kind of sometimes goes hand in hand with depression, because when you're in survival mode, 9 times out of 10, you're functioning depressive right in that moment. So something has happened, you're getting through, you're getting the bills paid, you're going to work, you're having conversations with people, but it is not forward moving. And so survival mode is like you're stifled in your space that you're in right now, and you have no vision of how to get out of it.
Dude, I love the definition. Like, especially when you throw in, like functioning depression. Cause I am him.
You know? Like, we all are. You know what I'm saying? We're a bunch of crazy people walking around this earth surviving in depression.
Yeah. I feel like I got just two modes. I got depressed where I can't get out of bed. And I got to watch cartoons and eat chocolate. And I got functional depression, which I'm sad, but I'm pushing through. And that's it. So that makes so much sense. And look, I know you was worried about me doing this whole definition and everything. You was right on point with it. Like, so Here's what Google said. Google says survival mode, also known as fight or flight response, is a psychological state triggered by perceived danger and stress, which is what you said. And symptoms. Now, I'm gonna get to the symptoms in a second because I think the symptoms are really important to know about survival mode. Before I do that, like it's like you said, like we're in a state basically where it's some danger happening, whether it's right. Or it's like immediate danger, like I got some shit popping around me, so I gotta stay on constant alert. Or since you just got some, maybe you have a real life event. I don't know, maybe like you lose your job in October you try to figure out how you gonna pay your bills and while you having a fit of you on the phone with a special person and crying and dry heaving and like, I don't wanna be here anymore. Not like that happened like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I have sure never heard this scenario before in my life.
y'all was on the phone with Lee. I was over here in the fetal position. Like I mentioned it on the podcast several weeks ago. I was in the fetal position. I was crying. She was like, we need to have somebody get to you. I was over it. I was over life at that point. And it's just that constant fear and that constant thing. Like, and like you said, we all go through it. We all have that functional depression type of thing, but it's like, when survival mode is surviving you, is to surviving you and everything. So
it's crazy because you can think of things like moments happen in your life and you either like you cope with it. That might not necessarily be survival mode. Like you're just in coping mode right now. You're dealing with the temporary scenario and then you kind of get past it. There's grief, you know, like there's a loss of a loved one or a person or a job or whatever. Like you experience grief in a loss of anything. So you could have a moment of grief. That's not necessarily survival mode, but survival mode is really like, it's a constant, like you're staying in the same space where all these things are still happening, but you're still there. Like you haven't moved forward. And I mentioned like being reactive, right? So it's like, there's proactive and there's reactive. And people can say, oh, I'm being proactive. I've got a savings account. Like, okay, what were you taught about having a savings account? Why do you have a savings?
To save money for a rainy day.
Right.
If you need it.
Right. That's survival mode. Okay. We're not talking about saving because we want to go on vacation. We're not talking about saving because we have these plans that we're looking forward to in the future. You are literally planning to react to a negative experience that's about to happen to you. So people call that being proactive, but it's still reactive because you are planning to react to something that
you are planning to react.
You are planning to react. Yeah. So that's still survival mode. So we've been programmed in survival mode. Save for a rainy day, save in case you get evicted and you need to have 3 months worth of rent saved up. You know, that is reactionary planning. So survival mode is like what we've been taught, what has been embedded into us, what we have adapted, inherited, all those things. And trying to get out of that is more of like, I want to plan for the future. These are things that have not happened that I want to happen to me, not I'm planning for something bad to happen to me.
Damn. Yeah. Okay. You got my mind going. Okay. I'm black and we black, so we gonna put this on black people.
Listen.
So we have been conditioned to be in survival mode. So it's like embedded in us generation after generation.
Absolutely.
Because you're right. I ain't never, well, like, and it's no diss to my mama because that's how she was taught too, and that's how her mom was taught. Mm-hmm. So. I've never had, Jerry, save up for this so you can sit there and, you know, open your business up or you can sit there and buy a house. It's like, you need to have this money just in case some shit pop off.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Generational trauma is real. Like, and I mean, if you want to go all the way back to slave days, you know, we've been taught to survive. Like, how do you survive that issue? Then we go into civil rights. How do you survive? And it's funny because, I was talking to my life coach, which, you know, shout out to Coach Kathy. So I was talking to her and she asked me like my views on blackness. And as black people, we have been taught that in order to prove that you're black or to really emphasize your blackness, you have had to struggle in some kind of way. And we have adopted that mindset that we have to get over something that's part of our heritage, that's part of our life, that's part of what we're expected to do. So we're like expected to survive as a culture, and it's unfortunate that that's what's been bred into us. But
that's real. That's even like with rap battles. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you ain't got that street cred, quote unquote, like, right. if you like Clarence grew up with both parents and they had a real good marriage. They're like, boo. What? You ain't from the streets. You ain't struggling. Right. You ain't eating just cheap mayonnaise sandwiches. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Clarence got clowns. But you know, Clarence on his feet now. He Captain America. But before, that's just what it was. Like, so that makes so much sense. It's like, yeah, we are conditioned to be like, hey, look how I got it. I got it from the mud, and look right. where I am now. Right. It's almost like bragging about it. And
it's like a rite of passage. That's
just the American right. It is. And yeah, that is the American dream. But if you started out a little bit better, like, for example, my mom used to buy Happy Meals on Friday for me. I was like, I thought I was living the American dream then, because look, every week I get a Happy Meal. What do you mean? My cousin Kendrick is like, yo, you get a Happy Meal every weekend? Every weekend, my boy.
Man,
like,
you living like, life. You know what I'm saying? Sister, we got like McDonald's money today.
Today. Like, just got paid, it's Friday night. You know what I'm saying? Like,
see, look, that was future planning. You know what I'm saying? She was saving.
Crazy thing that McDonald's is future planning, but know, right? The savings account is, you know, like, ooh, we working on this. We generation by generation, we got to heal generational trauma. Yeah. It just how it is. So I love that perspective. All right, so let's talk about like the symptoms of it, because obviously, you know, we can sit there and say it's a generational thing, but also, you know, it could be just your situational thing of what's happening. So whether it, like I said, whether it's like some immediate danger happening or whether you just in some shit, I'm gonna get in your business in a second and ask you, you know, some times that you've been in survival mode. Or currently, how are you faring with it?
All right.
But let's talk about the symptoms for a second. So I got physical, I got mental, and I got behavioral, and I got other. So I'm gonna go all deep in here. So
do it. Go deep.
What's up, girl? Well, you better stop playing with me.
Oh,
okay, now I'm gonna read some of these off, and then as I'm reading them off, I may or may not side eye you because I know you so well. In case you be thinking like, oh man, this ain't talking about me. Okay, so here we go. Physical. Increased heart rate and blood pressure. Rapid breathing, sweating, muscle tension, digestive issues such as nausea and diarrhea, fatigue.
I know you ain't looking at me, pot kettle. Okay, go ahead.
Well, it's the camera see both of us, so yeah.
Okay.
Hypervigilant, which is constant alertness, difficulty concentrating, impaired memory, confusion, emotional numbness or detachment. Damn, you really? That's how you came at me? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Feeling overwhelmed or out of control. Behavioral, avoidance of triggers, hyperactive or impulsive, difficulty making decisions, procrastination.
That's a real one right there.
That's a real one.
You know what they say about procrastination, right?
What do they say about it?
Procrastination is like masturbation. You're only fucking yourselves.
Damn. I'd rather masturbate.
You know what?
I'd rather masturbate.
That's a good way to get out of depression too, you know what I'm saying?
Temporarily, yeah. I mean, it's
going to need some endorphins.
Yeah. It's going to help with the blood pressure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the muscle tension. Irritability and anger, neglecting basic needs of sleep, food, and hygiene, especially all like sleeping and food,
things, all
and others like sleep disturbances. Yeah, if I can say that word, substance use, increased appetite or loss of appetite, difficulty trusting others, and numbness in feet and hands. So, do you, LL, identify with any of those symptoms? And let's talk about it.
I will say this. When you hear that list, you hear depression, anxiety, ADHD, diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood, like all the things. Like, you hear all of these things. And first of all, I just want to point out the obvious. Who does that plague the most?
of Black people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so again, yeah, we're talking about symptoms that we experience because, again, genetically, trauma, all this stuff. But what I will say is, all of them, except for the feet thing. I'm good on that one. I don't, you know, yeah, but yeah, no, all of them actually, because one of the coping mechanisms to feeling this way and being in survival mode is like overworking, right? Because you think that if you overwork, you're going to come out of survival, you know, you're going to get yourself out of survival mode. So you're like, oh, we call it the grind mentality, the hustle, whatever. You're like, oh, I got to stay up all night because I've been doing that lately, you know, staying up all night to work and do these things, because if I get it done now, I can be out of this mode later. But really, because we haven't changed our mentality, you just hamster wheeling, you know, you're about to be on the next project after, as soon as this one's over, and you're going to be overworking again. But I have all of those. I'm curious of which ones you identify with, sir.
Okay. All right. So let me do that. Cause you know, I can't put you on the high seat and not put myself on the high seat. So that's fair. Muscle tension, definitely. Digestive issues, fatigue, hypervigilance. I was just walking around today, just looking around, like head on a swivel. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I'm just at a Marcus, just getting ramen. You know what I mean? I'm just like looking around, like who coming to get me? So that's there. Difficulty concentrating. It's great as my memory is. Like, my memory is legendary. Mm-hmm. When I forget something, I forget something. I can remember something that happened 27 years ago verbatim. You told me something 2 hours ago, I fucking forgot. Yeah. So, yeah, that's there. The emotional numbness and detachment. See, yeah, we had a side conversation about this yesterday, you know, because we were looking at the Pattern app and everything, and apparently I got some issues to work through, but I'm gonna probably not a whole other podcast episode. Okay, cool. Feeling overwhelmed, out of control, that's definitely me. Difficulties decision making and procrastination. And lately, in the last 4 months, irritability and anger. Because let me tell you something: if your quote unquote job is Uber and DoorDash right now, and you've been learning how to get a little bit of road rage, that motherfucker got amplified in the worst way. So,
and people
in sleep disturbances,
but peopling when you're in this mode is very difficult too, because you get so aggravated with people. You're like, I am trying to survive. My mind is on how I can get myself out of this. My mind is on me and not being this way. And people want to talk to you and have these raggedy ass conversations. And you'd be like, I don't care about your cat. I don't care about your kid's school. I don't care that you got a promotion. I really don't care about that. You know what I'm saying? So
not a
peopling is very difficult. And you find that, like, if that's a symptom too. Like, if you said irritability, but like being around people, if that's difficult for you, and you're hyper focused on what you got going on, not talking about being an introvert and all those things. Like, if peopling is difficult for you and it normally isn't, and that's a sign, that's a symptom.
Yeah, a perfect example of that is me with driving, passengers. Like, they energy right there, just. I'm drained. They might not even talk to me, but I'm already not good at peopling. Like, I think this podcast had people fooled. And I want to be clear. I want to set the record straight right here. Like, right now, while Lee is right here. Don't let the podcast fool you. I am not good at peopling, okay? Or maybe I am good at peopling, but I don't like peopling. Because it's very draining for me. So, you see the podcast, you say, oh, these great conversations, Jared talking with his hands, the beard popping, you know, he looking all,
Lays, okay, Lays. Juices and berries. Come on, juices
saying,
and berries.
That's what I'm saying, girl. Shoot. But they might see all that, but at the end of the day, like, it's so draining for me. Like, it's, I don't know. I don't know if I'm an empath. I don't know. I'm just introvert. I don't know. I'm an empathic introvert. It don't matter. That was a whole podcast episode about that. But it's a lot. But talk to me, though. So are you currently in survival mode right now? Do you feel like you're currently in survival mode?
Absolutely. So I've got divorced about 2 years ago, been separated for 3 years, so a total of 3 years away from my now ex. And that situation did not end well for me. So I was instantly put into survival mode. Like I was instantly like, okay, how do I survive with these kids? I lost an income coming into my household. He's not paying child support, not helping out. So it's like that instantly put me into, okay, I got to grind this out. I got to find all these ways to make money. I got to get the kids to and from sports, to and from school. I got a job. I got a side hustle. I do community service. Like it was straight up survival mode. Like how do I maintain the life that I was living when I wasn't just surviving, and how do I maintain that by myself now? And so, yeah, I've been in survival mode for the past 3 years at this point, but, you know, I'm coming out of it. There's some vision, there's light at the end of the tunnel. But absolutely, I think, and again, it's like that functioning depression, like I'm functioning survival mode. Like people would not know it because we're content creators, you know, we put stuff on the social medias and it looks good, it looks exciting, it looks glamorous. And then I'm at home, like you said, my light switch goes off and I'm like, oh, fuck these people, fuck this content, fuck these kids. Definitely fuck that nigga, you know what I'm saying? But but yeah, I have goals, I have aspirations, but I'm cycling right now. I'm like, I'm just trying to stay afloat. I'm trying to keep the bills paid. I'm trying to not, you know, fall apart and be in fetal position. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm trying to not do those things, but that's reactive. I'm reacting to life right now. And I'm not really being proactive to the things that I want to do, or the things that are pleasurable. So yeah, absolutely in survival mode.
You can recognize right now, 3 years into it, that you're in survival mode. Mm-hmm. When did you know that you were in it? Cause I'm guessing like as soon as like the separation and the divorce mm-hmm. happened, you didn't have a light switch to hit him like, ah, survival mode right. activate. You know what I'm saying? Like, so cause I think it's important to talk to about with people, because I think sometimes it's easy to look on the hindsight of it to sit there and say, oh shit, mm-hmm. I'm listening to this. I am being in survival mode. Mm-hmm. But when does it start? When do you recognize it starts? Outside of like hearing this podcast?
You know, honestly, I've always felt like I was in survival mode, because like people would ask me like, oh, how you doing, girl, surviving? You know what I'm saying? Like you mm-hmm. you say it and it's kind of like just a thing. But I think the reality of I am cycling this pattern of not getting beyond my place in life right now really hit like probably last year, where I was like, shit, there are things that I wanted to do in life that I was happy and excited for, that I was moving towards. I was setting goals and doing these things. I felt like I was less depressed at some points. And it really hit that I was like, fuck, I wake up every day, I go to work. And as much as I love my job, you know, it's like, it's still the same thing. Like I go to work, I go home. Sometimes I don't go home. Sometimes I overwork. But then it's like, oh, I've got to get my kids to school. And it was like, it clicked. It was like, I've got these tasks that have to be done that don't bring me pleasure, that I just keep going and keep doing it every day. It's the same thing. And yeah, I might add in a girl's trip every now and then here and there, but it didn't bring me as much joy as I thought it was going to, because mm-hmm. I came back to my survival mode. Like that week-long vacation yeah. is cool. It's a break. And then you come back and you're like, here we go again. Let me get back on this hamster wheel. You know what I'm saying? Let me react to life again. So I think last year was like the moment where I was like, it really clicked, you know? Mm-hmm. But I do want to say this though, a lot of people who are in unhealthy relationships find themselves in survival mode in those relationships too. And that kind of just carried over. So I, looking back, hindsight, right? I've mm-hmm. probably been in survival mode for the past 20 years, honestly. Like there has been elevation and growth, but the elevation and growth that I've experienced has been because I'm trying to survive. And mm-hmm. so, you know, but it really clicked for me, like it was like a real thing. And it's mostly because I've been going through my healing journey, you know, trying to mm-hmm. be a better me with these revelations and thoughts and all these things, you know what I'm saying? but it really is an introspective look.
No, that's real. I think what came to mind when you were saying that is like cycle. And I think that's it. I think we get stuck in a cycle of things where we feel like this is just life, because mm-hmm. this is like life is, you know, I do this, I go to work, mm-hmm. come home, mm-hmm. you know, maybe every once, you know, every twice a month, maybe I go out with the girls, we drink, mm-hmm. you know, we cut up, you know, I have a hangover the next morning, I got to get to your kids' school, blah blah blah. You're like,
I got a hangover right now.
Oh I wish I was there. I wish I had one right now too. That would have been fun. But you know, the thing is, when we do get into those cycles, and then you're right, we have maybe that 0.5% growth, or we had like that 1% growth, or maybe like 3% growth, and we like, oh shit, look at me growing as a person. When if we were not in survival mode, it would be 10% that year. It would be 15-20% that year. And it's interesting that you identify with it, you know, because when it really, really got harder, like right after the marriage, but in that relationship, now hindsight, looking at it, it's been a while, and that struck a chord for me because, yeah, last 4 months have been particularly hard because a life change has happened, and I think we can see where a major life change happened, right, whether it's a divorce or whether it's a loss of job, but because we might not see the subtle, right?
Yeah,
we don't see the subtleties of it because if I think about it, since I've been depressed my entire adult life, I literally started having emotional outbursts my freshman year in college. And they just took me to the counselor, you know what I'm saying? And I just talked to them for a couple of weeks. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm okay now. And what I do, I went back into the same cycle of doing that shit. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at it that way, shit, you've probably been in it a lot longer than what you can identify with it. You only can identify that major life change that happened when it really happened. But you probably been dealing with it for a long ass time and you didn't know.
That part. And if you think about like all the moments in your life where you have elevated in some kind of way, right? Or you've done something or had an achievement. Think about what the intention was for that achievement. Were you doing that achievement because you wanted to make more money to then pay your bills off better? Still survival mode. Or were you doing that because this has been a lifelong goal and I just really wanted to do this? Like, I really want to travel the world. So I start going to different countries. Like, that's a different level of achievement. It's bringing you pleasure. It's not bringing you the purpose of, here's a better way for me to survive. You know what I mean? So when you look back at your achievements, then you're saying you got a promotion, you did these other things. Like, what was the purpose of those? Because if it was to help you survive better, still survival mode.
That's okay. You spit now. Okay. I see where you're taking the culture. No, because that makes a lot of sense. I have always tried to, you know, when I worked in the public sector or the private sector, I've always tried to aspire to be more. Mm-hmm. Whether it was like working for the federal government, or maybe being a supervisor or manager for a telecommunications company, right? So I tried doing both like that in my lifetime, and that was the goal to do. And I remember having a conversation with a senior director, and I was like, you know, like, what are some of your goals? And I was like, by the time I'm 40, make six figures. And that wasn't nothing for me to be like, okay, you know, like this. So now it was basically survival mode. So I can pay my bills on auto pay. Like that was
the goal. That bill to come out and I not even notice. You know what I'm saying?
And I don't even worry about it. Having your bills on auto pay, like it being your goal in life, is classic survival mode to the fullest. And you don't even know it. I'm over here like, yo, if I can put my shit on auto pay, woo, shit, I'm living the life. Right. You know what I mean? But it wasn't like, oh, I want to go see the Great Wall, or I want to have this experience, or I want to try. I've always had a passion for film. I want to write a screenplay. That's shit that you want to do. Like, oh, okay,
right. But think about it, like when you're in college and you, aside from surviving as a college student, right? But you're thinking about your goals in life, right? Like when you were in college doing these degree programs, you had a vision of what you wanted to do in life. That had nothing to do with surviving. It was like, I want to be a CEO of a company because that's my goal. Once you get into the job, then it's like, I want to be a CEO because I need to make more money to pay my bills. There's a difference in that same vision. You know what I'm saying? So it's the intention behind why you have that goal, why you have that progression, why you have that elevation, whatever. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. So separating the whole generational trauma, like we all like black people, we automatically sit in survival mode. whether it's like a major life event or whether it's like some immediate danger, you mm-hmm. like we talked about, you're gonna click in survival mode, right? So when is being in survival mode too long? Like I mean, obviously when those symptoms come out, you know you've been in there. Mm-hmm. Like for you, like when do you feel like, okay, all right, I've been struggling for this for a minute now, or mm-hmm. like, you know, the danger's gone, I'm still like this. Like when is it too long?
I don't know if there's a time frame. Honestly, I think it's more of about when you start feeling a passion for life again. When you start feeling joy, when you start feeling happiness out of your experiences is, you know, when you're coming out of it. Mm-hmm. For the fact that I've been surviving for my whole life, you know, like it just kind of, I don't know if mm-hmm. there's a time frame. But I think there are points where it impedes on your life a little bit more than others. And that kind of goes into that anxiety and depression area. So, you know, when you are entering, you're in survival mode, but you're entering into a deeper depression because of it, that's when you need to kind of pay more attention. I won't always say being in survival mode is a bad thing. I tell people, shit, at this point, I just want to go back to Walmart and be a cashier. You know what I'm saying? I want to clock in, clock out. I want that to be my everyday thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because I could find passion and do things that I want to do outside of work. Work has become my life, right? So that survival mode is like, I'm making sure my bills are paid, but I have other things going on. So not necessarily a bad thing, but too long is, I won't say too long, but I'll just say the points in it, the moments you need to pay more attention is when it's dragging you into a depression or it's physically causing your body harm, you know, like anxiety and all those things. Then you're like, okay, I need to figure out either how to survive differently or I need to come out of this. And so I think not putting a time frame on your survival, but putting an emphasis on your body and how you're feeling and how you're reacting to survival mode is more of like the concern. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
that makes sense because like, so if I'm taking this situation that's going on with me right now and this life-changing event happened. So I'm in survival mode. I'm struggling. I'm trying to pick myself up. I'm trying to stay motivated. You know, bills piling up, things like going on. But at a certain point, it's like, okay, I know I'm not eating. Mm-hmm. Know that I'm in this thing. I know, like, don't get me wrong. I'm happy that I dropped this 15 pounds. Dude's looking good.
Come on, big sexy.
You know what I'm saying? It's about to be medium sexy now.
Okay. But, I like it.
But at the same time, I know it's fucking stress. So it's like, okay. Because I ain't doing shit different. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like,
let me tell you, Black folks will celebrate our weight loss in any kind of way. We'd be like, oh, I got the flu and I lost 15 pounds, girl. You'd be like, yes.
I have literally celebrated weight loss because of COVID. You know what I'm saying? You know me. I've had COVID a couple of times. So I'm like, dude's looking
so
good.
Bad.
Good. But at the same time, I was like, all right, I know what I ain't trying to do is when I get out of it, I ain't trying to gain any weight back. So now what can I do to do it? So I guess it's getting to that point where you recognize the physical and emotional things, especially first of all, like you say, when it's affecting your ability to grow, it's affecting your ability to even, it's basically affecting your ability to maintain because it's to a point now where now it's affecting my survival. Like I've been survivable so long that now it's clearly affecting my survival because I can't eat, I can't sleep. Like I toss and turn, I'm stressed. Like, all this shit is happening to me. So now I'm going to the doctor because, you know, blood pressure issues and diabetes, like you said, ADHD, all these different things are happening. So that your survival is now in jeopardy because you've been in that mode for so long.
That part.
And so if you're looking at that and you're saying, hey, okay, I see the symptoms. I see what I've been doing. I need to figure out a way to get out of it. How do you begin? Because you say you on that verge where you're coming out of it and everything. You got the idea. You see the symptoms that's happening. What are your steps in getting out of survival mode?
I think it's first identifying what it is that it takes for you to survive, right? So if it's bills, if it's health, it's whatever it is that's creating this feeling of I'm in survival mode, is like identifying those things. And then it's identifying what is it to get that to not feel like I'm living to fund or take care of those things. So if your life is revolving around paying bills, what does it take for me to not have my life center around paying bills? Okay, is it getting a better paying job? Is it taking a second job? Is it upping my savings? Is it, you know, decreasing my bills? It's whatever. So it's like identifying what it is and taking steps to then alleviate whatever it is that creates that hamster wheel and survival mode around that thing. Because once you get to a point to where that thing is no longer a problem for you, you've passed that moment of survival for that thing. Now, there's other things that happen. We always talk about money because that's the biggest and easiest thing to identify as far as survival mode. But there's lots of other things, you know, like health-wise, like if you're a diabetic and you eat a lot of sugar, then, you know, you're maintaining because you ain't died yet. You know what I'm saying? But how do you get to a point to where you're not worried about your blood sugars? Well, you got to eat healthy. You got to work out. You got to take these medications, yada, yada, yada. So you make that a pattern or make that a habit. You're no longer in survival mode with your diabetes. Same thing with bills. Same thing with other things. So it's, you tell me a lot, make lists. I hate making lists because my mind goes into rabbit holes of words flying at me and everything else. But it does help. You know, people talk about manifestation journals and things like that. Like I have a friend who he wrote everything down that he wanted to achieve in his manifestation journal, and he is now achieving those things. So it's identifying what's going to motivate you to come out, like come up with some solutions to those survival pieces, and then working towards that. Now, you're going to be in survival mode as you work towards those things, but as you achieve those small wins, and you know, we love small wins, right? So once you achieve these small wins, that small wins add up to a big win, adds up to you moving out of that space of survival mode around whatever that situation is.
Yeah, I like that. Cause it's like what you said, like you hate writing lists, and we go back and forth about that a lot. But when you finally do it, it helps. Yeah. And for me, I hate routine. I hate it, but I need routine. I'm an earth sign. I need the routine. I need the steadiness. I need that in order to center myself, because if my life is abstract and I'm flowing through all the shit, I'm like, it's utter confusion. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like I'm almost like fighting myself in order to sit there and do the routine. You are fighting yourself in order to do the list. But at the same time, what's that doing? It's breaking the cycle. We're comfortable in that cycle because we've been in it for so long.
Right.
And so we're like, I don't like this. But in order to make the change, we have to be the change. So if the change for us is like, okay, Obama, you know what I'm saying? You got me flowing, girl. but it makes perfect sense. So if you don't like writing lists, but you like to have, you know, you like to be this gunslinger, have, you know, like, ping, ping, ping. I'm knocking things out, ping, ping, ping. And so now I got this list, and now I'm systematically sitting there working. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is a little better. Like, it's, you know, yes, I'm good at multitasking, but if I have this list, I don't necessarily have to multitask. I can focus on this one thing and knock it out. And me with my routine, it's like, no, I just, you know, I like spur of the moment stuff. I like just being surprised. And I like just, you know, like life is about being excited. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm like, sure. But at the same time, because I don't know what to do because of that lack of decision making and everything at that point, because I'm in survival mode, instead of the excitement that I'm getting, I'm laying in bed and watching TV for half, or TikToks for like half the day. I'm like, now I'm mad at myself because I did sit there whole day.
And you enter a whole different cycle at that point. It's so uncomfortable. It hurts. It's like healing. It's like healing. We talk about healing from a divorce, right? Like, you gotta take the time to heal yourself, girl. You gotta, you know, see a counselor, see a therapist, you know, work on you, figure out what you need to do better in life and work on you, girl, right? Like, those pieces of healing are uncomfortable, and survival mode and coming out of it is definitely a healing process because you've been doing it. And what do we all know? People stay in toxic relationships because it's a negative comfortability, right? Like, you're comfortable with this thing because you've been in it for so long that you know how to function, you know how to respond, you know how to react. Like, if your partner drinks a lot and you know he's about to come home and be wilding out, well, you know what to expect. So you'd be like, okay, well, when he gets home, I'm going to go in the room and lock the door. You have things to prepare yourself for what you know. being out of survival mode is foreign. You don't know what to expect. You don't know how to plan for it. You don't know how to respond when things good happen to you. So it's uncomfortable to have positive things happen to you when you've been dealing and you know how to respond to negative stuff. Does that make sense? So it's like, and it's painful. Being uncomfortable, even if it's positive, is painful because you don't know. A lot of people have control issues and they don't know it, you know, not being able to control
I got control issues.
the but you know, like not being able to control the outcome is because you don't know what to expect, so you don't do it. And then you get overwhelmed, and that's a symptom of, you know, surviving. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing, but you got to be uncomfortable.
Would you right? It's like those that little small stuff to get you out of stuff like that. Like, I'm used to the negative, so if you be like, "Oh, Jerry, look at you! You're looking nice today." Who the fuck? What do I do every time? I thought, who you
Me.
talking to? Somebody in here? Who else in
That's when
here?
you got to come out. Yes, Daddy, I'm talking about you. You know what I'm saying?
I was like, oh, shit, girl. But
Open your
like, but
chest.
it made, yeah, rub my chest, girl. Shit. But I'm glad you mentioned some of this stuff, because I forgot that I had this, my nerve shit. I had something else pulled up for a coping with
Oh my
survival mode.
goodness.
So once again, you nailed it. But I think this thing covers like the more immediate danger, and also like, long term stuff. So I want to kind of go through this just real quick. So, to cope with survival mode, you got to focus on practice like deep breathing exercises, mindful techniques, grounding exercises, and connect with supportive people. So for like mindfulness and relaxation, deep breathing, progressive muscle relaxation, guided imagery and meditation. And I think that's good for the long term, because again, I'm gonna give y'all behind the scenes, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm over here trying to prepare for this episode. I know I did 160 days, but I still get fucking nervous when I do this shit. You know what I'm saying? It's just really what it is, because I want to do a good job, because I have this passion to be the best. To be the best in the world. And so as I'm sitting there doing that and working on that, Lee pop in, and she like, I know I'm a couple of minutes late, but damn, nigga, you sleep? Like, like, and it's really me doing these deep breathing, because I was like already like ready to be like, welcome to this week's episode. It was about that time, because I had to calm myself down. And so even when you're in survival, whether it's immediate danger or whether it's long term stuff, like, you're overwhelmed. So that deep breathing and guided imagery, another thing that I do that I didn't really like, or else I did until I just read this, when I prepare for episodes. I'm in the shower. I'm mumbling to myself, "Welcome to this week's episode. It's about them." I'm practicing how I'm transitioning me into the
This
conversation.
visual is hilarious. You in the Why you say you in the shower and then your voice get deep and you like, "Yeah, girl, I'm a
I
practice this
mean,
episode." Yeah, you know, in the shower, the water glistened all over my body.
the water glistened all over my body.
Listen.
It was like, "Welcome to this week's episode." It's about them. Now, well,
I feel like we're about to go
okay.
to a whole new topic. Go ahead.
That might be like another career goal for me. I gotta sit there and talk to you about that. I might have to get on the app and start doing some shit. But no, with that guided imagery, like I'm going through the scenes on how to do it, because it helps calm me down. Physical self care, obviously regular exercise, healthy diet, adequate sleep. I know these are things that I say like every week. I know these are things that I try to do every week that I need to be more consistent. So I'm yelling at y'all too, but I'm yelling at me. I need to be more consistent. But I'm starting. I got accountability partners in place now. Social connections, reaching out to loved ones, joining a support group. Some of us don't like to talk to people like that. some of us like to bottle our feelings up inside. Some of us like, I'm good, bro. I'm good, sis. Try to find somebody. I know I'll advocate for a therapist, and I know therapy is hard because it ain't for everybody. But speaking of somebody who ain't got no insurance right now, if you got insurance, find you a therapist. That's copay like 20, 30 bucks.
They got programs that have sliding scales. They have, I think BetterHelp offers, based on your income. So there's options.
Come on, man.
And I tell people,
Talk
I
to
was
her.
just talking to somebody who, a gentleman had expressed that he was having a depressive moment on Facebook, and he was posting to the group, like, "What are y'all's tips?" And one thing that I have learned that sometimes works, it's not for everybody, but it does help because it creates a level of motivation for you, is to check on other people. Not necessarily like you're reaching out, because some of us are very prideful. Some of us have like an issue with, you know, wanting to share our experience of what we're going through. But for some people, checking on others makes them feel good because, dang, someone reached out to me. Someone cares about me. I really feel good. Thank you so much. It internally makes you feel better because you've done something good. And it kind of sets a domino effect of you wanting to do better things now. It's kind of like when you eat healthy for, you know, a consistent amount of time, you're like, okay, now I'm eating healthy. Now I'm going to work out because there's a domino effect. I just say, be careful with that because some people lack boundaries and you become that go-to person when you're going through something. But for those of you who don't like talking to people and you don't do it a lot, sometimes reaching out just to check on somebody else, it creates that level of communication with another person. It creates a connection piece. It creates all these things that internally will help you out without even having to tell nobody your business. So
yeah, no, that's a good tip. I have done that without even thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's to the point where all the stuff is going on in my head and everything. I'm overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I will call somebody and be like, they can tell that I am crying and I'm about to go through it. You okay? Tell me about your day. Tell me explicitly. You say because I'll do that to you. Tell me explicitly about your day. Don't leave out any detail. Tell me how many times you peed. Tell me how many hard stops you had when you was driving. Like, tell me. I just need something for the stress. The pee king sounds nasty. Don't tell me how many times you pee.
That sounds
like a pervert, but that's the first thing that popped in my head. Okay?
I'm gonna start messaging you and being like, I'm peeing right now. Just wanted to let you know.
Well, you know what? That they may help me with being overwhelmed because then I'm like, okay. First of all, I need to drink water. So let me go get me some water. Second of all, maybe I need to pee. Maybe I'm neglecting myself in my bodily function. Maybe I need to go pee. You know what I mean? So thank you.
Sure. I love to help. And not in the R. Kelly way.
Please not. Don't do that. Yeah, please don't. Okay, so look, I could continue the conversation with you and all day long. I know you're a busy woman because you are doing everything. Under the sun, but before we get you out of here, you know what it is. You listen.
Ooh,
to the show.
I'm
you
ready.
Know what time it
I'm
is.
I'm ready.
You know what I'm saying? So it's about damn time. Yeah, it's about damn time.
Time.
So in this segment, we tell people what it's about damn time to do. So Lee, LL, if you will, what is it about damn time for people to start doing to finally cope with surviving survival mode and move past it to play mode or interact mode or activate mode, whatever mode it is that they're looking for?
I'll keep it short and sweet. It's about damn time that we stop living to survive and we start living to live. That's all. You know what I'm saying?
A 9-to-5 is how you survive. I'm trying to live it and love it a lot. Like what I'm saying, girl.
Go ahead, bars.
Talk to him, home. talk to him, LL. You know what I mean?
So I can freestyle if you want. Don't ask me to.
You want freestyle?
I can do. You know what I'm talking about? Spaghetti. You know what I'm saying? I got you. Top five rappers of all time: Dylon.
Come on, man. Look, you got so much going on, and talk to us about Dirty Roses too. Tell everybody where they can find you, because you in the midst of a brand new season. You got a lot of other projects that you're working on that I might have some help with you to do some stuff on.
We're gonna get us both out survival mode. Okay, yeah. So
absolutely,
it's to help me help you. My name is Lee Larie. You can find me on all social media platforms. That is LEIGHLARIE on all platforms. I did it good. I did it right in the beginning. But you can also find me at Dirty Roses Podcast on all social media platforms, Dirty Roses Podcast. And you can look us up at dirtyrosespodcast.com. You can read about me and my co-host. We talk about all things love, lust, and perspective. I forgot my goddamn motto.
Love, lust, and perception. Because I'm a fan, I know, girl. See how I did that?
You talk about memory loss and survival mode. And I'm old, and I'm hungover, and I got kids. Like, listen.
You got like, You got all that stuff going on, but you look good.
Hey, listen,
you know what I'm saying? You look good.
For these clips, okay? But yes, find me. I got some more projects coming up, but we are in season 5 of our podcast. And so we've got some good episodes on the way coming up. We've already aired, but you can catch up on all major platforms, Apple, Spotify, YouTube. We got videos and everything. So, you know, Mr. Mm-hmm. Damn, you need to come on our show, sir.
Look, I need to get out to Portland, honestly. You know what I'm saying? I need
you
to be
should.
On this show. I need to be out here doing some stuff. So I need to be hanging with the big dogs, the ones that sit there making moves and making stuff happen. And you doing it. You know what I mean? I need to find a way out there. Maybe I can slide out there for season 6 somehow.
Like, hey, we
see how we can do with that. But yeah, look, every Tuesday these new episodes are coming out. So since you were listening to this,
yep.
You might as well go ahead and slide to Dirty Rose and check out the episode.
Hit that subscribe button. You know what I'm saying? Hit that subscribe button.
Go ahead. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to yourself. Like, you look, they do talk about love, lust, and perception. I think they need to be a little nasty, honestly. I keep telling them. I was like, y'all getting nasty a little bit, but you can turn it up a little bit.
We might have something coming out, like some Dirty Rose Diaries or something. You know what I'm saying? We might have that coming up, but we're going to get really explicit, you know.
I like that. That's what I'm talking about. I like that. Okay. Look, Lee, thank you so much
for having me.
You like a safe belt. You saved my life, girl. Like, thank you. Thank you for being part of the show. And being just thank you for being my friend. I love you, girl.
Thank you for being my friend. Mm-hmm. That one, because you got to do the black one too.